Thank you for joining Library on the Go. We bring stories and adventures to you. I'm Ms. Laura.
And I'm Ms. Barbara.
Of the Cortez Public Library. And once again, Ms. Barbara has some stories for you.
Our first story is called Her Seven Brothers, Stories and Illustration by Paul Goebel, published by Aladdin Paperbacks. And this is a Cheyenne story that he has recounted. Stories were told after dark, when the mind eye sees most clearly. Winter evenings were best, when the children were lying under their buffalo robes and the fire was glowing at the center of the teepee. And after the sounds of the camp had grown quiet and the deer had come out to graze, the storyteller would smooth the earth in front of him. Rubbing his hands together, he would pass them over his head and body. He was remembering that the Creator had made people out of the earth and would be witness to the truth of the story he was going to tell. Do you know what the birds and animals say? In the old days, there were more people who understood them. The Creator did not intend them to speak in our ways. Theirs is the language of the spirits. Yes, birds and animals, butterflies and beetles, stones and trees still speak to us, but we have to learn how to listen. In those distant times, there was a girl who lived with her parents. She did not have any brothers or sisters, but she was never alone because she could speak with the birds and animals. She understood the spirits of all things. When the girl was quite young, her mother taught her how to embroider with dyed porcupine quills onto deer and buffalo skin robes and clothes. She worked hard, and in time she became very good at it. Her parents were proud when she gave away something she had made. People marveled at her skill and beautiful designs. They believed that Porcupine, who climbs trees closest to Sun himself, had spoken to the girl and given her mysterious help to do such wonderful work. And while the girl worked, she kept good thoughts in her mind. She knew that she could not make anything beautiful without help from the spirits. One day she started to sew clothes for a man, a shirt and a pair of moccasins. She decorated them with porcupine quills in brightly colored patterns. Every design had a meaning for her. When the shirt and moccasins were finished, she did not give them to anyone. She put them away and started on another set. Her parents wondered why she did this when she had neither brothers nor young men who were courting her. When a second set was finished and she was starting another, her mother asked her for whom she was making the clothes. Her daughter replied, "There are seven brothers who live by themselves far in the north country, where the cold wind comes from. I have seen them in my mind when I close my eyes. I am making the clothes for them. They have no sister. I will look for the trail that leads to their teepee. I will ask them to be my brothers." At first, her mother thought this was just a young girl's imagining, but every day her daughter brought out her work. The months passed, and she made six shirts and pairs of moccasins. And then she started with special care on a seventh set, smaller than the others, to fit a very small boy. Her mother was puzzled, and yet she sensed that her daughter had seen something wonderful. Even the wise men did not know, but they believed that the unseen powers had spoken to the girl. Her mother said, "I will go with you. When the snow melts, we will pack your gifts onto the dogs, and I will help you guide them until you find the trail." The geese brought back the springtime, and they set out for the north country. The way was green and beautiful with flowers, and loud with frogs and red-winged blackbirds calling from every pond. Two faithful dogs carried the bags of clothes. The girl had the little boy's clothes in a separate bundle on her back. When the girl found the trail, she said to her mother, "This is where I will go on along. Mother, do not be sad. You will be proud. Soon you will see me again with my brothers. Everyone will know and love us." But her mother did cry, and she called to the sun, "Oh, sun, look after my child." She watched her daughter, leading a dog by either hand, walk away and fade slowly in the immensity of the blue distance. The girl walked on for many days into the land of pine trees until she came at last to a teepee pitched close to a lake. It was painted yellow and had stars all over it. The door was partly opened. She thought she could see bright eyes peering at her from inside. She unpacked the bags from the dogs. After they had taken a drink at the lake, she thanked them. "Now go straight back home," she told them. "Keep to the trail and do not chase rabbits." A little boy ran out of the teepee and called to her, "I'm glad you have come. I've been waiting for you. You have come looking for brothers. I have 6 older brothers. They are away hunting buffalo, but they will be back this evening. They will be surprised to see you. They do not have my power of knowing and seeing. I am glad to call you sister." The girl opened the bundle of clothes she had made for him. "Younger brother," she said, "this is my gift to you." The boy had never seen anything so beautiful. His clothes had always been plain and often old. He put on his new shirt and moccasins and scampered down to the lake to take a look at himself in the water. The girl untied the other bags and placed a shirt and a pair of moccasins on each of the 6 beds around the teepee. When the little boy heard his brothers returning, he ran out of the teepee to meet them. "Wherever did you get those fine clothes?" they asked. The boy replied, "A girl made them for me. She came looking for brothers, and now I call her sister. She has made wonderful shirts for all of you. Come and see." The brothers were very proud of their sister and looked after her well. When they were out hunting, she stayed in the teepee with the little boy. He would take his bow and arrows to protect her if she went out for water or to gather firewood. She liked to have good meals ready for the hunters when they returned home. They all lived happily together until a day when a little buffalo calf came to the teepee. He scratched at the door with his hoof. The boy went outside and asked, "What do you want, buffalo calf?" "I have been sent by the chief of the buffalo nation," the calf said. "He wants your sister. Tell her to follow me." "He cannot have her," the boy answered. "My sister is happy here, and we are proud of her." The calf ran away, but in a little while a yearling bull galloped up to the teepee and bellowed, "I have been sent by the chief of the buffalo nation. He insists on having your sister. Tell her to come." "No, he will never have her," the boy answered. "Go away." It was not long before an old bull with sharp curved horns charged up and thundered, "The chief of the buffalo nation demands your sister now. She must come at once, or he will come with the whole buffalo nation and get her, and you will all be killed." He shook his mane and whipped his back with his tail in rage. "No," the boy shouted. "He will never have her. Look, there are my big brothers coming back. Hurry, or they will surely kill you." When the brothers heard what had happened, they were afraid. Even then they sensed an uncertain rumble, like shaking deep down inside the earth. Beyond the horizon, dark dust clouds were rolling out across the sky toward them. The buffalo people were stampeding in the awful darkness beneath. "Run!" shouted one of the brothers. "Wait!" the little boy called out, and he ran into the teepee for his bow and arrows. He shot an arrow straight up into the air, and a pine tree appeared, growing upward with the arrow's flight. The girl quickly lifted her little brother onto the lowest branch and climbed up after him. All the brothers clambered up after just as the chief of the buffalo struck the tree with a terrible blow, splintering it with his horns. He hooked at the trunk again and again and was split into slivers. Dark masses of angry buffalo crowded around the tree, pawing the ground and bellowing. The tree quivered and started to topple. "Hurry, you have power. Save us," the brothers called to the little boy. He shot an arrow, and the tree grew taller. He shot another farther into the sky, and the tree grew straight upward, higher and higher, and they were carried far away among the stars. And there they all jumped down from the branches onto the boundless star prairies of the world above. The girl and her seven brothers are still there. They are the seven stars in the northern sky, which we call the Big Dipper. But look carefully, and you will see that there are really eight stars in the Big Dipper. Close to one of them, there is a tiny star, and it is the little boy walking with his sister. She is never lonely now. They are forever turning around the star, which always stands still, the North Star. It is good to know that they once lived here on Earth. Listen to the stars. We are never alone at night. The end.
Yes, and I think it behooves us to take a little bit of time, drive out of town, look at the starry sky without the lights of the town around, and study the constellations and all the stars and their meanings. We never take time to do that. You're joining us on KSJD, Dryland Community Radio. We're Library on the Go, and our call number is 90.5 and 91.5 FM. And here's Ms. Barbara again.
Our next story is called The Blackberry Mouse, written by Matthew Grimsdale, illustrated by Tony Linzel, published by Templar. Mouse loved his little cottage in the country. He loved it because it was warm and cozy and just the right size for a mouse. But most of all, he loved it because there was a big blackberry bush in the garden, and every year he had a bumper crop of ripe, juicy blackberries. One summer, Mouse's blackberries were even bigger and juicier than usual. He began picking right away, and he was already hot and bothered when Sparrow came by. "What nice blackberries. May I have some?" chirped Sparrow. "They're all mine," said Mouse. "Go away." "Well, there's no need to be rude," said the little bird, and she flew away. Mouse's paws were beginning to ache from all the hard work when he caught sight of Squirrel leaning on his garden gate. "Can I have some of those juicy blackberries?" Squirrel asked. "If I give you some, then there will be less for me," Mouse replied. So Squirrel went away empty-handed. Mouse had stopped to have a rest when Rabbit came hopping through the grass. "Those blackberries look delicious," she said. "They are," said Mouse, "and I'm going to eat every last one." "Then you will most certainly be ill," said Rabbit, and off she went. The sun was hot, and Mouse was getting very tired. Soon he nodded off to sleep. He didn't realize that someone had been watching him. It was Mr. Fox. When he saw that Mouse was asleep, he sneaked over Mouse's gate and crept closer and closer until he could pick up Mouse's basket. He was just creeping away when, snap, he trod on a twig. Mouse woke up with a start. "Hey, those are my blackberries," he squeaked. "You're far too small to stop me taking them," laughed Mr. Fox. "They will make a fine dish for my tea tonight." "Help!" squeaked Mouse. But no one answered. After all, thought Mouse to himself, why should the woodland creatures help me save my blackberries when I would not share them with anyone? Just then a strange thing happened. An acorn landed on Fox's head. Plop! And another. Plop! And another, and another, and another. Plop, plop, plop. Mr. Fox dropped the blackberry basket and ran as fast as he could. Mouse looked up to see where the acorns had come from, and who do you think he saw up in the old oak tree? It was Squirrel and Sparrow, and Rabbit was there too at the gate. "We couldn't let Mr. Fox steal your blackberries," said Squirrel. "Even if you didn't want to share them," added Sparrow. Mouse felt very ashamed, and then he had an idea. That afternoon, Mouse invited everyone to a blackberry feast. He worked all day to get it ready. There was blackberry juice to drink, blackberry jello, blackberry jelly, blackberry crumble, and lots of little blackberry tarts. The other animals said how delicious it all was. "Perhaps," said Mouse, "blackberries are nicer if you share them after all." The end.
I was giving a presentation to some elementary children yesterday, and one of the little girls pouted, and she said, "But I can't keep the books." And I said, "We share." I said, "That's why I love my job, because we share, and I think that's why Miss Barbara likes doing the radio show, too, because she likes to share." You're on KSJD, Dryland Community Radio, 90.5 and 91.5 FM. And one, possibly two more stories.
The next one is Miss Smith and the Haunted Library. And it's written by Michael Garland and published by Dutton Children's Books. Miss Laura likes library stories, so...
Even haunted libraries.
Zack stared out the classroom window at the dreary fall morning as he waited for his favorite teacher to arrive. Suddenly, Miss Smith burst through the door. "Good morning, class. We're going to visit the library today. There is someone special who I want you to meet." Zack smiled when Miss Smith picked up the incredible storybook before heading out the door. The library was right down the block from school. Zack warily eyed the dark stone building as they walked single file up the sidewalk. The creaky door swung open and they tiptoed inside. "Class," Miss Smith said, "this is our librarian, Virginia Creeper." Zack stared in shock. Blue hair, pale skin, deep dark eyes. He hadn't been expecting this.
"Hello," Miss Creeper said in a high-pitched, squeaky voice. "How can I help you today?"
"This is the season for spooky stories. Do you have any suggestions?" Miss Smith asked.
"Oh, yes," the librarian replied. "Quite a few. I might find some of them in your incredible storybook."
Miss Smith handed the book to Virginia Creeper, and the librarian opened it and said,
"I'll just read a little from some of my favorite scary stories."
Miss Creeper began to read about a dark, haunted wood. Zack shivered. Then, with a thunder of hooves, the headless horseman leaped out of the book. The children's mouths hung open in disbelief. Virginia Creeper started reading again, and the Hound of the Baskervilles pounced from the book. More reading added the clinking and rattling of chains as Morley's ghost appeared. New stories brought out the Hunchback of Notre Dame, Frankenstein, and Count Dracula. The class started to cling to Miss Smith. The great black horse snorted and stomped his hooves. Frankenstein groaned, but Virginia Creeper just kept on reading as a flock of ghosts flew from the book. When Captain Hook and the Wicked Witch of the West entered the room, Zack wondered if he should run for the door. The scary creatures were crowding the room, but that didn't stop Virginia Creeper from reading. Rumpelstiltskin, the Queen of Hearts, and the Big Bad Wolf squeezed in among the others. Zack looked up and saw the giant from Jack and the Beanstalk bump his head on the ceiling. Next, the room was filled with eerie sounds of whiffling and burbling. Virginia Creeper read on as the flaming-eyed Jabberwocky arrived in a puff of smoke. Then the strangest thing happened. Virginia Creeper stopped reading and started to pass out cookies and apple cider to the children and the characters. The mood changed. To Zack's amazement, a party started. All the creatures seemed happy to be at the library.
The headless horseman gave horsey rides, and the kids lined up. Someone brought out a ball and played fetch with the Hound of the Baskervilles. Dracula told jokes. The giant gently picked up some kids and lifted them high in the air. Everyone was having such fun. The characters didn't seem so scary now. Virginia Creeper's happy smile suddenly changed to a worried frown when she looked out the window and saw the seniors' book club coming up the walk. "Oh, my," said Miss Creeper. "I almost forgot. It's time for the book club. They can't see this. It will give the seniors such a fright. Go and tidy up while I stall them at the door," the librarian told Miss Smith. Virginia Creeper blocked the impatient readers from entering while Miss Smith ran around in a tizzy. She picked up overturned chairs and straightened the bookshelves. Outside, the seniors were getting grouchy, but inside, the kids and the characters had become too silly to notice. "Can I help?" Zack asked Miss Smith. She handed the incredible storybook to Zack. "Remember," Miss Smith said, "we have to finish each story so that the characters will go back into the book. Read the last page of each tale while I deal with this mess." Zack opened up the book and quickly finished all the stories. One by one, the characters went back into the incredible storybook. The puzzled book club burst into the room just as Zack finished the last page. "Okay, class, it's time to check out your books," Miss Smith said, and she guided the class toward the big front desk. Everyone thanked Virginia Creeper before marching down the library steps and heading back to school, and with borrowed books under their arms, the children were looking forward to reading more about all the characters they had just met. Zack smiled and wondered what they would read tomorrow. The end.
One more story, Miss Barbara?
One more quick one.
Okay. And I have to say, I sure am glad that your voice is not like Miss Creeper's.
Oh, well.
You have a nice radio voice.
Thank you. This is called The Pig Who Ran a Red Light by Paul Brett Johnson, published by Orchard Books. And now I have to tell you that Gertrude is a cow and George is a pig. And at the very end, Magnolia is a duck. Ever since Gertrude had taken up flying, there had been no living with George. "Whee!" came a sudden high squeal, and Miss Rosemary made it to the kitchen door in time to see her pig take a run and go off the end of the porch. "Foomp!" Miss Rosemary shook her head. "Honestly, George, just because Gertrude is a silly nincompoop doesn't mean you have to be one, too. It's a known fact pigs don't fly. Now look what you've done to my petunias." George was not about to listen to reason, however. The minute Gertrude fired up the old farm tractor, he climbed behind the wheel of Miss Rosemary's pickup truck. George smashed through the chicken coop, squished over the pumpkin patch, bounced across the creek, and chugged off down U.S. 80 on the wrong side of the road. "Heaven help us all," Miss Rosemary cried as she ran to the phone and called the sheriff. "This is an emergency," she said. "My pig is driving on the wrong side of the road." "Now, don't you worry about a thing, ma'am," said the sheriff. "We'll take care of the situation." But when he hung up, he lifted his eyebrows and tapped his head. "Lady says her pig is driving on the wrong side of the road." However, it wasn't long until the sheriff saw George with his own eyes. He had to give George a ticket for running a red light and driving without a license. He then called Miss Rosemary to come get her pig. "What am I going to do with you, George?" Miss Rosemary scowled. "It's a known fact pigs don't drive. Why do you have to act like Gertrude? Why can't you just be yourself?" When George and Miss Rosemary got home, Gertrude was practicing the piano. George joined in. "George, you're going to send me to the loony bin," Miss Rosemary shouted above the noise. There was no doubt about it. Something had to be done. Miss Rosemary had a long talk with Gertrude, just the two of them. The following day at lunch, Miss Rosemary rang the bell. Clang, clang, clang. "Who wants a big slice of apple pie?" she called. Gertrude came running. George was close behind. "Oink, oink," said Gertrude. George stopped dead in his tracks. He cocked his head and looked at Gertrude. After lunch, Gertrude went to the barnyard. She stuck her nose to the ground and began rooting and snorting. She even managed to curl her tail. "Oink, oink," she said again. George was speechless. Later that afternoon, Miss Rosemary hooked up the garden hose and made a huge pit of yucky, mucky, black, stinky mud. "Anyone for a wallow?" Miss Rosemary asked. Gertrude jumped kersplat into the yucky, mucky pit. She rolled over and over. She tossed globs of mud in the air. "Oink, oink," squealed Gertrude, pretending to be in hog heaven. Suddenly, George squealed like a fire engine. "Whee!" And into the pit he went. Miss Rosemary sighed thankfully. At last, her pig was behaving like a pig. "Cows are cows, and pigs are pigs," said Miss Rosemary, "and that's a known fact." "Oink, oink," said George. "Oink, oink," said Gertrude. "Oink, oink," said Magnolia. The end.
Poor Magnolia. She's so confused.
I think they all are.
Thank you for joining us today. We do air every Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon for a half-hour show. Love to have you join us and even make requests. Ms. Barber would prefer if you make a request, just make a request about what farm animals, Ms. Barbara, or Raggedy Ann or Andy, something of that nature, and we'll try to read that on the air for you. Something in that general vicinity.
Or if you have a favorite book, we'll read that too, if you've got one.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a new book. We'll do classics, you name it. The first one I think that Miss Barbara read today, no, it was it last week, the Fletcher one?
No, today.
Today.
Last week.
Yeah. That was donated to the library. It's not in very good shape, and we can't put it into the collection, but we wanted to share that with you because it's a great story. And I think the copyright is quite a bit older. We have story times every Thursday at 10:30 in the morning. We'd love to have you join us for that. And now we're going to go to Farmer in the Dell because Ms. Barbara felt that was appropriate for our last story. And thank you very much for joining us, and give a listen to us next week. Thank you for joining us.